Our Lord God and Heavenly Father, we want to praise and glorify your great and holy name. We thank you for this day that we've had, for many of us, a great time of fellowship around the meal table, and now we've come together to continue in your word. Lord God, we thank you for your great message of grace, the great message of how you have raised us up through your love and mercy. And we just pray tonight that you'll really give us ears to hear you speaking to us. Give us hearts that are ready to take in the seed of your word, that we might be transformed and changed into the image of your God, image of our Savior, for your glory, our God. We pray this in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. At the moment, in popular culture, zombies are very popular. There's a famous TV series where everyone on Earth has been turned into a zombie except for a small group of people. And you can see this TV series is not edifying. It's not good to watch. It's an example. Don't go hunting it out. It does not meet the criteria of the fruit of the Spirit. But this TV series shows us the terror that these people endure being surrounded by the walking dead. Dead people walking around controlled by their lust and desire for human flesh. And I thought, you know what? That's actually a really good illustration of the world we live in today. We're not surrounded by thoughtless monsters who crave to eat our brains, but we're surrounded by a world that wants to conform you and I into its lusts, its passions. We're in a world where the prince of this world is the devil, who is trying to keep us from knowing God. And as Ken mentioned, we have this great but. When all else is hopeless, when we are unable to save ourselves, our God, it says, but God. He has sent us our Lord and Savior. He has saved us and raised us up. So tonight, I want you to ask yourself, why is it important that we know God's grace? Why is it important for us as children of God to have a good understanding of where we have been saved from? Are we the walking dead, or are we walking alive in Jesus Christ? We're going to explore tonight God's great love towards us. We're going to explore how God's love should propel us to live for Christ, alive, to be propelled for love and good deeds. God's love is most certainly the greatest gift we can ever experience in this life. Psalm 103 declares so beautifully in verse 11, "For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness towards those who fear him." Tonight we're going to look at how God's love for you and I, God's mercy for you and I, has prompted him to pour out immense grace upon us. To really appreciate the depths of God's love, we need to have a clear view of ourselves when we are outside of God's love. Look with me in verse 1. "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins." Straight out of the gate, verse 1 goes to the heart of the human condition. We were spiritually dead. The cause of this deadness was our sin. All of us were born into this world spiritually dead. And just like a dead person is unable to change their condition, you and I are unable in our own strength to know God's love. Have you ever smelt a dead, decomposing animal? Maybe a rat or a mouse? The stench of death is so offensive and repulsive. It catches you and you reel back. You kind of flinch from this stench. This is only a weak illustration, but it's an illustration to show you what our sin is like to our God. To our God, our sin is awful. It's repulsive. It's putrid. In the view of this putrid, vile sin, our God and Heavenly Father allowed Jesus Christ to become sin in our place. You can look at that in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, a great memory verse to know. 1 Corinthians 5, 21, He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God. We were dead in our sin, but Christ has become sin in our place. He made him who knew no sin on our behalf. Oh, sorry. And continuing in verse 2 and 3, he goes on to explain what the human nature is really like outside of the love of God. Even as Christians, we can fall into the trap of not appreciating sin, not appreciating the gravity that our sin has. Verse 2, it says, in which you walked formerly. So we used to be like this, according to the course of this world. We used to live like the world. We were in the world and we lived as the world. It also says that we lived according to the prince of the power of power of the air. Who do you think this is referring to? Satan, the devil. It's telling us here in verse 2, we walked formerly according to the will of Satan. That is an incredible thought to consider. We all consider we were once all right people, not a bad person. No, God's word is telling us we walked according to the prince of power, Satan. And it continues, we walked in the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. We formerly were disobedient towards God. In verse 3, you too all formerly lived in the lust of your flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath. This is us outside of God's love. We were once walking as this world does. We were once submitting ourselves willingly or unwillingly to Satan. We were once deliberately disobeying God. We were once indulging our flesh. When we were outside of God's love, it was a terrible terrible thing. And yet, our God could quite easily have finished the story right there. These people are hopeless, helpless. I'm done with them. He sent a flood once, he could do something again. But Paul, as Ken mentioned, Paul writes one of the greatest phrases of all time. Two words. But God. We were spiritually dead. We were led by the spirit of the devil. We were slaves to our lust. But God. But God. Two words that speak so deep of the hope that we have in God. That speak so deep to his heart, the love that he has for you and for me. Our God has made us, who were once the walking dead, spiritually dead, to be walking spiritually alive with God. Continuing on in verse 4, we have, but God, being rich in mercy because of his great love which he loved us. Can we see how verse 4 is now showing the accomplishment that God has made in our salvation? And he has made that through Jesus Christ. When we read this passage, those first three verses are shocking. That's a terrible description of who we are, but honest. But now we have God. God has set us free. With that but God, we formerly walked according to the courses of this world, but God has set us free from the world. We were once slaves, servants to Satan, but God has set us free from his bondage. We were once sons and daughters of disobedience, but our God has made us sons and daughters of obedience. We were once slaves to our lusts and our desires, but God has set us free. Our God has done so much for our salvation. He has given us a new nature. He has removed the nature of wrath that we once had. God has accomplished all of this because he loves us more than we could ever comprehend. And that's why Paul can write in Romans chapter 8, therefore, there is now sometimes condemnation? No. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. God has made us alive. Continuing on in verse 4, but God, being rich in mercy because of his great love, which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Our God is rich, rich in mercy and great in love. His heart is flowing, overflowing in abundance with mercy and love, more than we could ever comprehend. And it has all been freely given. No matter how much of a mess you have made of your life, no matter how ruined we are, God's love will cover that. God's mercy will set you free. Continuing, I want to consider this phrase in verse 5. Even when we were dead in our transgressions, He made us alive together with Christ. We were dead, and God made us alive. Can a dead person choose to become alive again? No, of course not. This verse is clearly telling us we did not choose God. We did not choose to follow Jesus Christ. And yet, even as a Christian, how often have we said this phrase, I remember that day when I found Jesus. We never found Jesus. He was the one who came to us. God Himself made us alive with Christ. It was God who opened our eyes to the glorious truth. And then verse 5 ends, by grace you have been saved. This phrase emphasizes that we are alive because God is rich in mercy, because God is great in love, because He has poured it out abundantly upon our lives. We did not receive God's grace because we accepted Jesus. We accepted Jesus because God gave us His grace. Jesus speaks to this point in the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 16, verses 15 to 17. The people of the town are asking Jesus is asking His disciples who the people think He is. So Jesus says in verse 15, He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said to him, blessed are you, Simon, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. It's our God who opens up our eyes. It's our God that gives us grace and mercy. We will not ever earn it or deserve it, but He has given it to us freely and abundantly. And we have this excellent part in 6 and 7. He raised us up and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come, He might show the surpassing riches of His grace in the kindness towards us in Jesus Christ. I have to pinch myself here. Do you see that in verse 6? It's in present tense. We have been raised. Not we will be raised. We have been raised up with Him and seated with Him. God has done that now through Jesus Christ, our Savior. We are no longer dead men and women, spiritually dead, walking around trapped in our lust. We are sons and daughters who are seated now with God and our Lord Jesus. What a hope we have now. And then verse 7 talks about a great hope to come, so that in the ages to come, He might show the surpassing riches of His grace in kindness towards us in Jesus Christ. And I was reading through this passage, I just couldn't help but picture that moment in Revelation when all of God's children are together. All the angels, all the elders, all the living creatures, all those saved through Christ. We read this in Revelation chapter 19, verse 6, where it says, "Then I heard," this is John speaking, "then I heard something like the voice of a great multitude, and like the sound of many waters, and like sound of peals of thunder, saying, 'And this will be us. This will be us who believe in Jesus. Hallelujah! For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns.'" That is the hope we have to look forward to. One day in glory with all of God's creation, worshiping Him. So, we have a great hope. We are now seated with Christ, walking with Christ. Fix your eyes on God. Fix your eyes on Christ. Fix your eyes on the hope we have to come. What incredible love and mercy our God has poured out. God's salvation is a gift, an outpouring of God's grace. It's God's grace that gives birth to our faith. In verse 8, we read, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God." We didn't have faith, as we've talked earlier. We didn't have faith, so God showed us grace. It's because of God's grace that we had our faith sparked to life. We have not earned salvation. It is a gift. All the good works in this world won't save us. It is God's gift of salvation. But what do we give back to God? If we have faith that we have been saved through grace, if we have faith that God has raised us to life, does my life show it? Do we show our faith in Christ Jesus and God through deliberate work which will bring glory to God? James tells us in James chapter 2, verse 26, "For just as the body is dead without the spirit, so faith without works is dead." We are not saved by our works. That is, I hope, abundantly clear. But our works show that we are alive in Christ. They are the evidence that we are alive and walking with Jesus daily. Maybe we might think to ourselves, "Why should I do these works? I'm saved. I have no need." If these works of faith are not evident in our life, we need to be concerned. We need to make sure that we are not still those walking dead. And verse 10, we have, "For we are His workmanship, created in Jesus Christ for good works, which God prepared beforehand, so that we would walk in them." It is God who saved us. It is God who has raised us up. It is God who is at work in you and I. God has even prepared works for us, good works for us to do. We don't have to go looking for them. He will bring them to us. He has given us so much. What will we give back to Him? At the start of tonight's message, we were to consider the love of God, the love of Jesus. It is the greatest thing that we can ever experience. Through God's love, we have been made alive to walk with Jesus. It is God's love and His grace that should be propelling us to serve Him. So, in closing, in the light of God's love, in the light of where you have been raised up from and where you have been placed now through Christ Jesus, serve God. Give back to God with all your heart. For by grace, we have been saved. Amen.